Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Score!
Yeah, it's big. You know, we put a high price on both guys, as we should. They're both all-star caliber players. And, you know, obviously we listen. I think with where we are as an organization, you have to listen, have those conversations. But we never got close to that line where we felt like the value we were getting was in excess of the value that those guys provided. So in the end, it was actually a really easy decision. The deadline came and went, and we still have two really good players.
Absolutely.
That is Jed Hoyer on Marquee the other day. A little touch of Cole right there at the end. Jed Hoyer sitting down with Cole and talking about everything in terms of the trade deadline. And it's interesting where they eventually got in the conversation when they got to the offseason. And we are going to give you some of that, as we've been mentioning. We also have a White Sox lineup, which we need to give you. So before we get back to the rest of Jed, and that's Jed talking about not trading Contreras and Happ, and we've covered some of that, so I don't mind making the segue cross town right here, right now. Lucas Giolito for the White Sox, Spencer Howard, the former Phillies prospect for the Rangers, and he's been bad this year, a 6.82 ERA. The White Sox lineup, after losing two of three to start this series in Texas, does not include Tim Anderson at shortstop. TA's been struggling like crazy. He also has been waiting for resolution on his appeal for the three-game suspension for bumping an umpire. We don't have anything on that, right? We don't have anything official on the TA suspension. I don't believe we do, no. But what we do have is a lineup. And we also have the arrival of Lenin Sosa, the extremely hot-hitting shortstop middle infielder who was called up directly from AA earlier in the year and played just a tiny bit and went back to AAA, so it worked as a promotion of sorts with a stop in between. and was called up this morning. Tanner Banks for the White Sox sent down. Lenin Sosa called up. Now, that is a bat that could be very interesting. Let's see. Is that somebody you insert into a moribund offense, desperately in need of a spark of some kind? Not today. Tony La Russa has Leury Garcia at shortstop and batting eighth today in a Sunday lineup. Now, Sebi Zavala's your catcher, so Grandal gets the day off. Luis Robert back in there, and he'll play center field. He's hitting second. A.J. Pollock up at the top. Jimenez, Abreu, Vaughn, Moncada all in there. Josh Harrison is your second baseman today. Leury plays. Have you seen his at-bats? Man, it's been a long time since I've seen a manager as committed to someone who does not deserve at-bats as Tony La Russa is committed to Leury Garcia. And it's been covered all year long. But he is stubbornly putting him out there and refusing to use options that are presented to him by a front office. And, you know, is it possible that Rickon says, look, I am giving you Lenin Sosa, just use him for depth, do whatever you want. I mean, is that possible? Sure. Is it possible that Rickon thinks, man, this team could use a spark and we need somebody. Let's bring up Lenin. He's ready again. Let's do it. Get him in there. And then Tony gets to fill out the lineup and he just does what he does because he's a Hall of Famer baseball person and that Rickon is pulling out his hair and going crazy as he sees this decision again. Is that possible? Oh, yes. Yes, it's possible. Man, what a mess. It's an absolute mess.
I couldn't believe you were telling me he was starting Garcia. Like when you were telling me before the break, I was like, Garcia is not Lenin is shortstop?
We have an official suspension, Sean. Do we have an official suspension on TA?
Nothing. Yeah, I'm searching though.
Okay. I because it was a 3 and then he appealed and I'm being told via text that it dropped down to 2 and we've got a 2-game suspension, but we don't have that perhaps officially just yet. Interesting stuff around the game, by the way. The Braves have optioned Ian Anderson. Wow, sent Ian Anderson back down. That's a guy who made playoff starts for them and has really struggled all year long, and they've got a pretty deep rotation, so they've sent Ian Anderson up down. Okay, yeah, what do you got?
So according to Chuck Garfine about 23 minutes ago, Anderson will be serving a 2-game suspension for making contact with the umpire on the 29th. TA's appeal dropped the suspension from 3 games to 2. He will also sit out game 1 of the doubleheader Tuesday.
Okay, there you go. So it is a 2-game suspension. There it is officially. Thank you. And now we know. So Lenin Sosa is here, but Leury Garcia is your starting shortstop.
Great.
Familiar White Sox frustrations as voiced earlier on in the first hour. But let's get back to what we are doing here because wanted to talk about these Jed Hoyer sound bites off of Marquee the other day. So we played you that one about Contreras and Happ. He then was talking about the farm system, which they've done a lot of stocking, a lot of pitching arms that were added during the draft, and then a whole bunch more pitching arms that have been added. This is Jed Hoyer talking about two of the power arms they acquired. Ben Brown, the young starter who was in AA for the Phillies, and Hayden Wesnecki, the AAA pitcher who was there with the Yankees.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, we're going to take it slow this summer with them. They've had big seasons, but, you know, in our opinion, we got someone that we felt like was the best college pitcher at the end of the year in Cade Horton. We got a guy that we had rated as one of the top high school pitchers in Jackson Ferris.
Sure.
And it was important. You have to be willing to take shots on really good power arms in the draft. And we did that, and we couldn't be more excited about it.
So power arms is who he's talking about, and those were draft guys he's talking about, as well as the other players that I mentioned. We'll get an update on them from Kylie McDaniel. Here's Hoyer talking about the farm system. He enjoys it right now. Feels good about it.
Yeah, I feel great about the way things are going. You know, we're winning tons of games. I think we're third in the minor league in winning percentage. Our prospects are playing really well. Up and down the system, we have a lot of depth. And I think that, you know, that'll start to come up. You know, if year after year we can, you know, have good drafts, develop well, that will eventually, you know, matriculate its way up to the big leagues and have a huge impact. This year, we didn't quite have that, you know, that level to come up to the big leagues and help in the way we will in the future. But I think pretty soon it'll be the way it was, going back to 2013, 14, 15, where every year there were multiple players coming up to the big leagues and making a huge impact. And, you know, people should be excited to watch watch the minor leagues right now.
So it's interesting. You know, it's funny because a texter had just asked me directly, said, Speaks, why can you explain, you know, why do the Cardinals compete every year without a complete rebuild, but the Cubs can't do the same thing? Got to rebuild twice here in a decade. And it's a very fair question. And the answer is that the Cardinals have never stopped for a moment with their ability to scout and develop. They have always done it extremely well. They have had a never-ending supply of legit, young, inexpensive talent that they can augment at any point along the process with a trade acquisition like Paul Goldschmidt or Nolan Arenado. And they can augment at any time with a free agent signee like Marcelo Ozuna or anything like that, because they always have that never-ending supply of legit, high-end, low-cost talent in full control. Theo, when he got here in 2012, had to start fresh. Had to start fresh and rebuild how the Cubs did everything, and they did. And now Jed has decided that he needed to revamp some. How they got there to that decision is the issue, of course. And that decision that came, you know, before the deadline last year and with the trade of Darvish and some of the other big moves that we've discussed so much over the last year and a half. So they got to that decision. There were baseball reasons that Jed Hoyer got to that decision. Were there also financial reasons that got to that decision? I don't think they were the dominant ones. I know a lot of very cynical fans do believe those were the dominant ones. I don't believe that was the case. I think it were baseball reasons that got there. Was it also, in part, a desire for Jed Hoyer to really set it up well in his one shot? We don't know that he's going to get another shot to do this, be the king of an organization like this with all the resources and the long runway and the five-year contract. He wants to do it this way because he has dreamed of doing it this way. So those are a variety of reasons why they've made that choice. Now the question is, as he continues to liken it to 2014 and eventually 2015, do you have to wait for all your prospects to be ready to augment with trade additions and big money free agent additions? That's the traditional way of doing it and the way that he and Theo did it the last time. I don't think you have to do it that way, because the system has changed, the game has changed, and because you have some room financially to add some people, which they did. The Marcus Stroman contract, the Seiya Suzuki contract. Those were not signings to then trade. Those were signings to be part of the next great Cubs team eventually. So when will that team be here? Is it only when the prospects are ready? Because that's what the plan was last time. Or can you continue to add in this postseason? In this next postseason, can you spend and build as you wait for those kids to be ready? Then the kids can come up and augment what you're building on the big league level. Isn't that possible? I think it is, which is why I've been a voice all year long saying, I've been a voice all year long saying they are going to spend in this coming offseason, that they're going to hit next spring training feeling a hell of a lot better about themselves, and you, the fan, will feel a hell of a lot better themselves as a viable big league entity next year than you did this particular spring. So, will they spend this offseason? Jed said some things at the deadline that gave me pause, but then he kind of went back on the flagship television network and said this about having money.
Yeah, we'll certainly have money to spend going into next year, and our goal is to build something really special. We know that truly special season may be a bit in the future, but we want to compete every year in the meantime. So there'll be money to spend, and we look forward to getting to the off season and working on that. But in the meantime, we got a lot more games, and we can learn a lot over this next, you know, almost 2 months.
I need to play this one again. This is a big deal. It's a big deal because we've heard some things coming out of the org from different levels. When Jed has been asked about this directly before, he's been I wouldn't say vague, but he's just, you know, tried to be deft talking about it. Doesn't want to tip the hand too much. And part of that, maybe that's about bidding in the open market and having people know that you want to spend and that you're going to unleash the financial hounds, all of that. Or maybe he's been kind of trying to be patient, generally trying to have a wait and see approach. And maybe he'd like to take a little more time, and he'd be okay being a little more patient. And maybe some within the organization are not as patient. This is me positing a little bit here, mixing in some of my own, mixing in some of my own thoughts on this a little bit. So this is a big one. I want to play it again. What's going to happen this offseason, Jed? Are you guys going to be spending or not?
Yeah, you know, we'll certainly have money to spend going into next year. And you know, our goal is to build something really special. We know that truly special season may be a bit in the future, but we want to compete every year in the meantime. So there'll be money to spend, and we look forward to getting to the off season and working on that. But in the meantime, we got a lot more games, and we can learn a lot over this this next almost 2 months.
That's big, folks. We want to, says we want to wait for the next great Cubs team, but want to compete every year waiting for that. They're going to be aggressive, and they should be. And we know where it needs to be, because frankly, if Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele are your 4 and 5 with Marcus Stroman as a 2 and Kyle Hendricks comfortably as a 3, you go get an ace. If there is one, and there's not a whole lot, that's a problem in this particular free agent market. Maybe there's not an ace to get, but maybe they find another way to get that ace during the course of the year or with trades or something like that. What they need is power, and Jed knows that. This is Jed Hoyer talking about needing power and some depth on the pitching front.
Yeah, it's hard to say that because I don't want to. We're still playing games, and we got guys on the field. But certainly we know what things we need to address. You know, I think this year, we put the ball on the ground way too often. We've gotten on base. We've done a good job of grinding at bats, but like kind of finishing off rallies. We have too many double plays. Not enough power in some ways. So those are some things we have to address. And certainly pitching depth. We worked really hard at the deadline. We worked hard in the offseason to do that. But I think when we've really hit the skids this year at a couple of different times, it's been lack of pitching depth, and we just have to keep building that up. The system is about to start churning out some really good pitching.
Yeah.
But we have to be aware, like, you know, we saw this year what happens when you don't have enough pitching. We had, you know, 4 starters on the IL, and we weren't able to perform when we had that. So we have to avoid that going forward.
So there we go. That's Jed Hoyer. Look, I do believe they will spend, and aggressively so. I don't think they're going to buy themselves a full team, nor do I think they should. But they will have money coming off the books. You're seeing some of the designations for assignments start trickling in here. Jonathan Villar, and now we got Andrelton Simmons designated for assignment. And I think, folks, Jason Hayward will not be on this team next year. You'll see that cost swallowed before they get to spring training. I do believe that will be the case. And things are going to look different and feel different by the time spring training comes. I'm emboldened now on that theory that I've had going all year long. Chris Kampka later on. Thank you for your calls and your texts all show long. Having a great time doing Hit and Run today. Tomorrow, back with Danny Parkins, Parkins and Spiegel afternoons right here on The Score. Coming up next, Kylie McDaniel from ESPN will talk prospects with us.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile.
You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Cubs system now and one still in the White Sox system now. We'll do that next on The Score.
Hit and Run Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
We have a lot of opportunity for guys to play, to show different things. We want to put guys in different positions to succeed. You know, I think the bullpen, obviously we traded four relievers, and that's going to be something we're going to have to piece together the rest of the way. I know that, and that's sort of on me, that we love the talent we got for those relievers for our future. But obviously that's a hole that we're going to have to fill, and we're not going to be able to fill it the rest of the year with guys like, you know, David Robertson and Gibbons, and you know, that's going to be the challenge.
That's Jed Hoyer talking about the bullpen with all the arms that have left it at the trade deadline. Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Pleased to be joined by Kylie McDaniel, ESPN baseball insider, who joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Kylie, longtime fan of your work. Nice to get to talk to you for the first time. Thanks so much. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So when the Cubs trade away Scott Efros, who was kind of a pitching lab creation, he lowered the arm slot and they found something together and turned into this wonderful high leverage reliever, they seem to be confident that they can do that again. Do you believe they can do that again?
Well, I mean, it was obviously, as I'm sure you're aware, a question for, you know, the end of the Theo Epstein regime and the beginning of the Jed Hoyer regime, if developing pitching could, if they could sort of cross that line and get to where they could just start manufacturing guys in the way that, like, the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Guardians and some teams like that have been able to. And the answer so far seems to be maybe, possibly. There's been some progress in that area. The guy they got in return with Nesky from the Yankees is actually not the same kind of guy, but was also a lower slot, not that well known. He was a sixth round pick out of a mid-major college, and the Yankees did a version of their sort of pitching lab with him where they raised his slot. They had him change a couple things in his delivery, and I think he could be, you know, kind of going down the same kind of road, but he's a little more of a finished product, obviously, than he was coming out of school, but he's another guy that probably needs some fine-tuning as he gets closer to the big leagues.
So it's interesting. You just use slot for both draft slot and arm slot, probably a common issue in your line of work. I love that. You know, it's interesting. So Hayden Wesneski comes here, and in part it's because he worked with Daniel Moskos, I think, who's with the Cubs and was his pitching coach, I believe, at Double A. They seem to be valuing Daniel Moskos' opinion a lot within the organization. Does that track with you?
Yeah, and there's a couple teams now. I know Detroit was, like, really behind on player development stuff, brought in a guy that is sort of like their ace in the hole in terms of pitching development, and have, like, made a lot of progress with having one sort of strong voice. So that seems to be how a lot of teams that have fallen behind a little bit, or at least not on the cutting edge, have approached this, is find someone who knows what they're talking about, can sort of speak the sort of hands-on, you know, talking to the players language, but also the sort of data front office language. And those guys are really hard to find that can do both of those things well.
You know, this is a little off track for Cubs and Sox, but it's kind of the broader conversation. I happened to be at a AAA game last night in Indianapolis and saw this kid, Ricky Karcher, pitch for the Louisville Bats. And he's one of these guys who was, I think he was a driveline student, and he's a guy who throws 98 and just has no idea where the ball is going. And he didn't, again, last night as I'm watching. And I'm wondering, that kind of pervasive mindset that has been out there, and Kyle Bodie obviously was hired by the Reds and then let go. Where do we stand in terms of that mindset being the groupthink around the game, in terms of 100 percenters and throw as hard as you can and worry about control after that? Where do we stand in terms of that being ever present around the game?
That's one of those things that I think became sort of widespread maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think it kind of started when Houston under Jeff Lunell was acquiring a bunch of guys that were high slot, arm slot, four seam, high spin, fastball, curveball, that kind of guy. And it tended to be one or two innings at a time, that kind of guy. And then once other teams started realizing that that was succeeding, they then started copying that. Then the teams on the cutting edge started moving to, if you remember a couple years ago in the playoffs, the Rays, had that every different arm slot on the clock.
Yes.
That then became the sort of progressive approach. That's where the smartest teams were. They were moving in that direction. And I started noticing Ricky Tiedemann, who's a big prospect for Toronto. I saw him at a junior college last year in California, and he's a low slot sinker slider. Everything's east-west, basically. And there were four scouting directors sitting in front of me, which that's like the highest ranking scout for a team. So you're like, all right, these teams are the most interested. And it was all scouting directors from numbers teams. They were all over the guy with the low slot, you know, side spin, sinker slider, east-west kinds of guys. And so they've now ventured that way. And I think now, like, the new frontier is looking for guys that throw from a low slot to get a sort of flat approach angle, which is how you get swings and misses at the top of the strike zone. Basically try to make it as flat as possible, both throwing high in the zone and releasing as low as you can. But releasing it low and not throwing a sinker, throwing like a cutter or a sort of quote rising four seamer, that now is where the, you know, the 6 or 7, maybe 10 most progressive teams are looking. And so the question is, essentially, to answer your question, where on that spectrum are you? There are teams like Kansas City and Colorado that are still like, we want our guys to establish the fastball, throw 80% fastballs and throw strikes. That's like, you know, the far end of one extreme of sort of the traditional end of things, where they haven't really changed at all. Some success, some not. Obviously, it's mixed on all approaches, depending on how your execution is. And then on the more extreme end of things, you have teams that are teaching everyone to throw 100% at all times, don't really know where it's going. Nobody pitches more than 3 or 4 innings at a time. And they prioritize stuff and effort and, you know, max benches and, you know, trying to really blow it out in the weight room. And I think right now the smartest teams are somewhere in the middle, where they have different approaches for every pitcher and are trying to sort of customize it. Because obviously every successful playoff team in the big leagues, they have a couple guys that are at both extremes. You have the Zach Greinke strike thrower, and then the Grutton and Spitton guy throwing 100 you got on waivers that you taught to learn where he was throwing the ball. Like, every team has both of those guys. So the answer is obviously somewhere in the middle, but you're obviously seeing the extremes of Kansas City and Colorado have very low strikeout rates and a lot of sinker slider guys that throw 88. And then, you know, Cincinnati with some of the leftover driveline guys have a bunch of guys grunting and spitting and throwing 100 and, you know, one walk per inning kind of guys. And I think that's trying to figure out where on that spectrum is the right place to land and how to execute at that spot on the spectrum. That's where, like, the entire industry has been trying to figure out for the last 5 or 6 years.
Boy, that's great, great stuff. That's baseball porn right there from Kylie McDaniel. And this is the stuff that I can just never get enough of, because I remember the moment. It was one series in L.A. when it was like, oh, the Dodgers figured out how to get out the entire Cubs lineup in 2017. Oh, they're throwing fastballs on the top of the zone and then some kind of 12-6 breaker, and they're getting everybody out. And that Cubs core never figured it out. So now I'm like, you know, following along with that. And as you describe, you know, how guys are pitching and how guys are attacking. And it's a fascinating moment in the industry to see, you know, how certain teams are reacting and responding. I don't even know if there's a question in there. I'm just kind of following along with your line of thought. Kylie McDaniel.
Well, and what I was going to say is Michael Givens is actually sort of famous in the circles of when I'm describing the guy that throws from a low slot but doesn't throw a sinker. So you get a very low approach angle going at the top of the zone. Mm-hmm. He has this freakish ability to throw a cutter from a very low slot, which almost no one has ever been able to do before. And so he has that weird ability that a lot of these teams that are looking at that sort of progressive approach to pitching are looking for. And you could say that Efros having like lower slot throwing the sinker, but then also throwing that frisbee slider and having like a 3 foot gap between where the sinker lands to the right of the plate and then where the slider lands to the left of the plate. That is also like there used to be at the beginning again of this like 6 or 8 years. It used to be, well, we just grade each pitch as it is. And so if you throw it a little bit harder and it breaks 2 more inches, it's better. And now the sort of progressive thought is more on, well, it doesn't matter how good the pitch is on its own. It's how do they interact? How do they tunnel? Do they look the same coming out of the hand? What is the separation? If you can get 18 inches separation of two pitches that go in opposite directions, but they're thrown with the same spin axis to the eye, that looks like the same pitch until the last minute. Like, that's the kind of stuff that the best teams are doing, are trying to dial into that. Whereas the teams that are stuck somewhere in the middle are like, well, your spin rate's 2,800. Can you get it to 2,900? That was progressive thought 10 years ago. And we've moved way past that.
That's good. Kyler McDaniel worked for 4 different MLB teams and for FanGraphs. You can hear why he worked for those MLB teams as we talk. And now is an ESPN baseball insider. One more on the Cubs before I move over to the White Sox. So the kid Ben Brown they got for David Robertson from Philly, I saw that he was described as having a good fastball, and I think it's a high arm slot, and they think he has good potential for a slider. And I'm not sure, how do you see that based on a guy's fastball and his mechanics, that he has good slider potential? I don't even know what that means, really.
Yeah, it also depends what kind of slider, because I think traditionally we've talked about, you know, curveball is top of the zone to the bottom of the zone, sort of a 12-6 idea, and then the slider is get around the side of it and it breaks a little bit. And there's obviously in between those two things, there is a slurve, or whatever you want to call it, like that famous pitch that K-Rod would throw, like the three-quarter break that goes from one corner to the opposite corner of the zone. It kind of depends. Are they talking about a short cutter slider? Are they talking about one of those breaks all the way across the plate, horizontally sweepy sliders? Or are they talking about a sort of two-plane slurve slider? Like, all three of those are completely different pitches. I would guess from, like, having watched Ben Brown being that that sort of tall, and fall high slot pitcher, to give you like a mental image.
Yeah.
I think it's probably more one of those like short cutter kind of sliders that makes sense from that angle. Because if you think as a pitcher, if you're throwing from like as high as you can throw just above your head, it's going to be hard to get a lot of horizontal break from that arm slot, but you can get through it really hard and just put a little action on the side of it and throw essentially a version of a cutter, or throw that top to bottom of the zone 12-6 curveball. But that's also why a lot of the progressive approach to pitching includes a lot of sliders, because curveballs tend to be the slowest of those pitches and break the most, or the easiest to see out of the hand. That's more of like a weak contact or like a chase pitch, as opposed to like a swing and miss pitch, which if you just think the average curveball is like 75, the average slider is like 87, you're just not going to get swings and misses at 75 these days when guys can square up 100 if you're throwing it straight.
What's the White Sox reputation around the industry in terms of pitching development? Chris Getz, the man in charge of that side of things for the White Sox, where are they on the scale that we were discussing?
They would be toward the end with Colorado, Kansas City, the teams that are very traditional, which, you know, the way I was describing it as, quote, smart teams and being the most progressive, it would seem to be that I'm labeling them as, you know, behind and dumb and things like that. Not always the case. Obviously, there are some players where the traditional approach to them, if we're not doing a one-size-fits-all, like just cookie-cutter approach, some players need a traditional approach, and they need to, like, master the mental game and throwing strikes because they have plenty of stuff, and their stuff is shaped well to get swings and misses. They excel at that kind of thing. And so, like, Jorge Rivera, who's their best pitching prospect that wasn't in the most recent draft, signed out of Cuba 2 years ago, he is one of those guys where just, like, throwing strikes, getting it under control, and harnessing everything is kind of what he needs. And so he doesn't need that super progressive approach to things. He needs more of a traditional approach to things. But in general, you know, whether you want to call it smart or dumb or whatever it is, they are definitely on the sort of old school end of things when it comes to development.
Well, you know, they're lucky that Lucas Giolito remade himself with the help of Ethan Katz and then brought Ethan Katz here. So that, and, you know, Liam Hendricks has brought in Codify, and now a whole bunch of them are working with Codify. So sometimes the individuals can help pull the organization forward, as we've seen. Let me ask you about some hitters in the White Sox system. Lenin Sosa is here for his second time, regrettably not in the starting lineup again today, as Leury García will bat eighth and play shortstop in place of Tim Anderson, but that's a whole other story. Is Lenin Sosa a guy who's ready to hit on the big league level, do you think?
I think it's time to find out. He's essentially done what he needs to do at AAA. So at some point you have to throw him in the deep end and kind of see what we've got here. And he is, I mean, if you're trying to drop a profile of the kind of guy that can hit the ground running in the big leagues, you want a guy with a really good approach that's not going to come up and just chase a bunch of pitches, that is contact over power, isn't going to try to do too much. And he is at least halfway toward that. So I would imagine if this is going to work, it's probably going to work pretty quickly. And then maybe slowly try to tap into more sort of gap power as we go. But he's the kind of guy that can sort of hit the ground running in the big leagues. Whereas if you imagine like a Joey Gallo type, those guys often take a little longer to settle in because their approach is contingent on it's best if a pitcher is bad. And when the pitcher is much better than you are and you're just learning is when you look the worst. And Dylan Sosa, that sort of player can tend to keep his head above water more than the Joey Gallo kind of player.
Yeah, and when he came up from Double A, that was my thought based on some stuff that I had read. And it seemed like, you know, if a guy can hit at Double A, we've seen it with Christopher Morel here too with the Cubs. Like some guys, certain approaches, like they don't necessarily need Triple A anymore, do they?
Yeah, and you can actually see it if you dive deep into the numbers. And I remember back in the day, the first time I read a study about this was that Adam Dunn, which is obviously like the latter-day version of a Joey Gallo. And it was essentially like Adam Dunn, Joey Gallo, that kind of player is seeing tons and tons of pitches. So the worse the pitcher is, the more of an advantage they have because they're seeing more and more pitches from a bad pitcher. If you then imagine them facing the Cy Young winner, DeGrom, Verlander, those kinds of guys, they're seeing more and more pitches from those guys who are better than they are. They're going to do worse. And then you see the little like slap hitters that swing a lot, like the Luis Castillo, Juan Pierre were like the examples in that study. It was like, oh, they're seeing 1, 2, 3 pitches at a time. The first one they like, they're swinging at. Justin Verlander doesn't have a 15-pitch at bat to like assert himself and his dominance over that hitter. They're doing a bigger part of their damage against the good pitchers. This is something that comes into play a lot when you were speaking earlier about how a team could figure out the Cubs hitters very quickly.
Yeah.
But when I'm talking about how to scout pitchers and try to figure out who's going to be good, those qualities that those quote smart teams have, they also extend to advanced scouting where they will have theories about like, oh, this sort of pitcher with this sort of approach angle, which is, you know, a second or third order type thing that not every team is aware of. I've worked for teams where like we are looking at that and I know people that work at the front office of the other team and I know they're not looking at that. And so in that series, you're like, whether it's going to work or not, we know things they don't know about their players and what will work against them. And it's, you know, it will exert itself on the less intelligent teams over the course of the season, which I think is why you see, again, the more progressive teams like Tampa Bay having guys with different arm actions and like unique movement on their fastballs. They probably know something about how that plays against certain types of hitters and have probably noticed like, oh, the Red Sox and Yankees have a lot of those types of hitters. This will be super important in the playoffs if we face those teams.
Last thing for you, Oscar Colas or Yelky Cespedes, which one you think is a profile's better as a big league hitter?
I've been a Colas guy consistently. Cespedes, I think, is I would label him a little more of a workout guy, where it is insane tools, explosion, all the sort of raw qualities you want, but swings so much that you're not sure he's actually going to get to all of it. Whereas Colas is like the big power hitter that is patient, sees a lot of pitches, and tries to do damage. And that approach with that skill set is much more likely to work than the tooled out guy that just doesn't quite have the patience or discipline you're looking for, both defensively on the bases, but most importantly at the plate.
Thank you so much. By the way, I loved your description of AJ Preller, the ultimate YOLO GM for our time. Absolutely perfect.
And it's so much easier if you can just describe something in vibes rather than explain like, well, this is AJ's history and he likes this sort of player. It's like, right. No, he's just going for it.
He's just freaking going for it. God love it. Thank you, Kylie. This was a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You got it. That's Kylie McDaniel from ESPN. My name is Matt Spiegel. It's Hit and Run. We'll wrap it up with the great, the wonderful, the only Chris Kamka next on The Score. We get ourselves Cam connected here on The Score with the great, the one, the only Chris Kamka, the Sultan of Stats from NBC Sports Chicago, who joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's always watching. He's always looking at the numbers and thinking about the numbers, and we love him for it. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
What's going on? Welcome back.
Thank you,
buddy.
Good
to be back.
It is. You know what really is? It is good to be back. I was saying earlier in the show that this run by Dylan Cease that he's on is reminding me a little bit of Jake Arrieta in 2015, because eventually the numbers were so good and the historic stretch got so much notice that Arrieta was the Cy Young winner, because he had to be. Kershaw had a great year. Greinke had a great year. But it was, hot damn it, look it. So Cease has to do it more and longer, because Verlander is a king of men and will probably win another one. But still, what Dylan Cease is doing is catching eyes, as it should be.
Sure, and it does definitely remind me of the Arrieta run in 15 too. And mind you, both of these guys didn't make the All-Star team.
Right.
So it's just like every time he's starting, it's like, all right, automatic win. And what kind of weird nuggets are we going to pull from this game? It has the same feeling. It really does. So, I mean, Cease is just unstoppable right now.
What's your favorite of the Cease nuggets that are coming and flowing out of these out of these games? And Cease nuggets, by the way, are delicious with a little barbecue sauce. I recommend those a lot.
That's great. So this run started on May 29th.
Yep.
13 straight starts with one or fewer earned runs.
Insane.
So over that span since May 29th, there's been 241 starting pitchers in the majors that have had a start giving up at least two earned runs. And also, over that span, Patrick Corbin and Marco Gonzalez have each had 11 starts where they've allowed two or more runs. So, I mean, just look at – I mean, it's a long time.
God, poor Patrick Corbin. He's my favorite player in the league. You know why? Because I do Beat the Streak every day, and I try to play Beat the Streak. And you can just, you can count on Patrick Corbin Day. I mean, give me anybody in the opposing lineup. I don't care. That dude, he's got an outside shot, by the way, at 20 losses. He's 4-15, I believe, and is healthy, getting paid a lot, and they're going to trot him out there. I have faith in Patrick Corbin, but that's not why you called. That's an amazing Dylan Cease nugget right there.
I mean, Corbin. I mean, at least he's healthy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, these, go ahead.
He's shooting for Mike Moroff. Is that the last 20, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, sir. Well done. That is the last 20-game loser. But, yeah, Cease at 12-4 with a 1.98 ERA. And you mentioned the 13 straight starts with one earned run or less. The first starting pitcher to do that since ERA became an official stat in 1913. Craziness.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. And we've seen a lot of pitchers over that span. I mean, you've seen Koufax and Gibson. You've seen a little Walter Johnson back there. You've seen Verlander recently. I mean, everybody. Think of all the pitchers that have pitched and have not done that.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And then on the other side of town, Mr. Kampka, we've reached a time where it is a balancing act for David Ross with the kids and the veterans who are here and did not get traded, how much they have to play, and they're going to need some more people by the end of this season too, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the trade deadline passed and you didn't add too many new guys on the team, but still we're looking at, since the start of 2020, the Cubs have used 125 different players, which is the most in the majors. And just think about that. That's five full 25-man rosters. I mean, it's not, you know, you have more nowadays, but you know, roughly the equivalent of five complete different rosters of players. And to think about that, in the first year of the National League's history in 1876, there was 121 players who appeared in the league total. Now, mind you, you only had eight teams, but still, I mean, in fact, the Cubs' first 15 seasons in the National League, they used fewer players. They used 123 from 1876 to 1890. And you had three rival leagues come and pick players off the roster over that span of time. So that's a lot of different players. But it's fun to think about just a variety of different players that come and play for the team. When you look back on this time as a Cub fan, it's kind of like, oh, I remember that guy. And I really enjoy that type of thing as a baseball fan. So,
wow.
But that's just 125 players.
That's overwhelming, man. 125 players since the beginning of 2020. Some of that was the pandemic, and then some of it was trading everybody and calling everybody up last year, and then this year shuffling in and out, trying to find people. Unbelievable. One last thing. You and I were talking about six innings thrown by a starting pitcher. It's a high watermark of sorts in terms of volume. Johnny Cueto has done it 13 times out of 14 starts. That is remarkable. Who else do we suppose is up there among six-inning starts in MLB?
I've got to think it's Sandy Alcantara off the top of my head. The guy's been pitching like crazy for Miami. And, you know, the amount of innings you rack up, it saves your bullpen. It's so valuable. I mean, so just to kind of look at what Cueto's done, it's just been amazing, and he's just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
You get six-inning starts, you get 6-1 putouts, you get all kinds of stuff. When taking grounders at third base yesterday before the game just for the fun, and yeah. You know, it's a joy to watch him. And just imagine, this is a guy that they plucked on opening day.
Unbelievable.
And yeah. Yep.
He's a ball player. He's just a straight up ball player who happens to pitch. Love it so much. Chris Kampka, thank you, man. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks.
You got it. So that is Chris Kampka. Coming up later on today, right here on the Scores Airwaves, it'll be the Marlins and the Cubs with the finale of their series out at Wrigley Field. Jesus Luzardo and Adrian Sampson. That's coming up. First pitch at 1:20. Pregame at 12:45. After me, it is Cody Decker doing Down the Line right here on 670 The Score. And for the White Sox, get the Rangers once again today to wrap up their series. Lucas Giolito and Spencer Howard, 1:35 Eastern is first pitch there. And if you didn't hear in that lineup, it's Leury Garcia. Leury Garcia batting eighth, and he is your shortstop for the Chicago White Sox. Great series going on all around baseball to continue. Yankees and Cardinals. Jordan Montgomery beat his former team last night. You got the Blue Jays and the Twins rolling on. Got the Astros and Guardians in action right now. And then tonight, I am looking forward to settling in for the Padres and the Dodgers. Braves and the Mets. Spencer Strider and Jacob DeGrom in that one later this afternoon as well. But Darvish and Tyler Anderson tonight for Padres Dodgers. I'll be back with you tomorrow for Parkinson Spiegel at 2 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Thank you so much to my guests today, Kylie McDaniel, Chris Kampka, and Brooks Boyer and Colin Faulkner. Sean Sears, great job today producing, and a fine job by our associate producer, Ruben Spiegel, who has earned his $10. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Down the Line with Cody Decker is next here on The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.